What is up, Wisconsin? This is Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Joining me on this stupendous panel tonight.
Stupendous.
Is
like
the fishinest, huntinest, anglinest, noodlingest.
Oh, yeah. I didn't go this year.
Noodlingest.
I'm very sad.
We're sad about it, too.
Huntress slash fisher person. Danielle Fairman alongside
Hello.
Of me. Hey, Danielle.
Hi.
How are you? Co-hosting the show tonight and with me for several decades in the outdoors of Wisconsin, bringing you the best of the outdoors and helping you take what you harvest. I was going to say kill, but let's be honest. Let's use honest words. When you go out hunting, you kill something and put it on your table.
Sure do.
And I'm perfectly okay with that. I come from the school of thought that if something is born in captivity, raised in captivity to be killed, to put on your table, i.e. the beef you pick up at the store, when you hunt, you are doing something as ethical, if not even more ethical in some cases. That animal lives free its whole life,
mm-hmm.
and it ends up on your table. And that's why we are such proponents on the show of using everything you harvest. Fishing, hunting, foraging. If you pick it, pluck it, or stick it, it should be on your table. Danielle Fairman's co-host Yay. Here, and the one who makes it easy for us to take everything from the great outdoors and put it on the table in a simple, absolutely delicious way, the award-winning Chef Ellie Lawton. Chef?
Bonjour.
Yeah. She's been working on her French.
I know, say. Two words.
Two?
It's only taken 6 months.
Two words. What are the two words?
Well, I know one saying and one word.
What is the saying?
My name is Ellie.
Jamapelli.
Jamapelli.
That's pretty good.
Jamapelli at the deli.
And of course, the contributor.
Kind of smelly.
Megan. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said it. I'm glad you said it, not me. I have to sit next to her.
Hey, you don't have to.
Well, during the show, I do. And Megan, the salad bar Salazar, is with us. And you know what I'm really jacked about? I'm really jacked because, you know, a lot of folks know her dad, Jay Link, from his escapades in the outdoors. But I have to tell you, our guest tonight is really making her name known and
yes.
really accomplishing some incredible things in the outdoors. I want to get into women in hunting. I want to talk about some of the challenges they face and some of the things that they're able to overcome as the largest growing group of new hunters in the state
Yay.
And the nation. Mm-hmm. Kenya Link is joining us. Kenya, man, I'm so jacked. You just got off one of the most exciting, probably, hunts of your life. Exciting to even see it and read about it. Kenya, great to have you on the show tonight.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here. The timing couldn't be better, honestly, coming straight off that hunt. I've got lots to talk about.
Yay!
Yes, and we're going to talk about her absolutely record-breaking, awesome hunt she had. But tonight, I want to take a few minutes to talk about how excited we are to have the listeners we do. Our listenership is growing. Raised in Wisco can be heard on Saturdays at 11 o'clock throughout the great state of Wisconsin and now in Minnesota and Michigan, 11 o'clock
Hello,
Saturdays.
Neighbors.
So welcome to our Michigan and Minnesota neighbors. Go Packers.
What was that?
I didn't hear anything. No. One thing that bonds us all is the great outdoors. And, you know, I know that Minnesota and our friends in Minnesota have the land of 10,000 lakes on their license plates. And Wisconsin has got 10,000 plus lakes here. And Michigan's got a ton of lakes. And we all share the Great Lakes. And we share the Mississippi with Minnesota. So a lot of what we do here in Wisconsin in the outdoors can be done similarly in similar altitudes and similar latitudes in Michigan and Minnesota. So it really is great to have them. I am having people tell us about the show. One of the listeners, I'm excited about this because it just makes me feel good. We have a loyal listener. Now, George Ermert, just settle down. You couldn't be here tonight.
Yeah, relax, George.
You couldn't be here tonight, but we brought in what I would call our best listener or shares the title with George
Yay.
Ermert.
I agree.
Gary Fluitt is here, And Gary, I really appreciate you coming to the Fishbowl tonight. You came in, you're raised in Wisco hat. You show up at the
Love
events
it.
That we do. And it's just awesome to have you. And I want to know, like, how did you start listening to Raised in Wisco? And how loyal of a listener are you? Because it's really cool to have one of our biggest fans of the show in the studio with us.
Coming across Raised in Wisco was word of mouth. Word of mouth got me here. I listen every Saturday. If I don't catch it on Saturdays, I'll catch it live stream on Sundays. If I miss the show, I'm really disappointed.
Aww.
Not just my love for the outdoors, but a love for cooking, for what I get in the outdoors, all about the harvesting. If you haven't tried the recipes that are shared, you probably should.
Right there. That, you know what? That warms the cockles of my heart.
The who's?
That's actually a saying. That makes me feel so good. And after all is said and done, you guys, that is what this show is about. And it is about spreading the good news of the outdoors, how to take what you harvest and put it on the table, understanding and appreciating when you take the life of an animal or a fish or when you pluck a plant out of the ground. That is a gift, and in Wisconsin, there's no better place to do it in the entire country, the world, in my opinion, than right here. And that is going to bring us to our weekly Wiscos.
Mm.
Let's talk about what we all did in the great outdoors of Wisconsin this past week, and I'm going to break a rule. My weekly Wisco was not in Wisconsin, but
what?
It's so exciting, I have to say it. We're going to start with Megan, the salad bar, Salazar, the sommelier pirate. Megan, what's your weekly
Goodness gracious,
Wisco?
It's getting
That's
long.
A mouthful.
It is a lot. I don't even remember what they are. Okay, what did we do? We went duck hunting, we went grouse hunting, and we went pheasant hunting at a game farm.
Wow. That is quite the weekend.
Yeah,
the
I dragged
week,
Dave
I
around
say.
Everywhere.
Oh,
he's not
oh,
he loves
his
it. Ears.
Dave is here, and he has a huge smile on his face.
I don't think that.
And stars in his eyes yes. because they're lovers.
As you have probably learned previously on the show, Dave and Megan are lovers, and they don't really drag each other around. They're a bit like Siamese twins. They're kind of connected at the hip. So when goes Megan, air goes Dave.
Yeah, they don't drag. They more so grab each other's hands and run.
They just run through the threshold.
Whatever direction
life.
Is hunting, they're running that direction.
Well, that's
yeah, so we got a bunch of feathers.
It's perfect.
And a woodcock.
Oh,
love nice. It.
And did you eat the woodcock?
I ate the woodcock at my cooking class with John Motovilov.
And John Motovilov nice. Spent a guest on the show. He's a fantastic dude. So shout out to him. And shout out to him teaching people about the great outdoors. Danielle, what do you got?
I did a little non-out hunting situation. I bought a projector. Because I'm having an outdoor movie night for Halloween, and we watched the Cubs Brewers game outside with the fire.
Wonderful.
I think that's great.
It was
that's
fantastic
a
on a big
Wisco.
Screen with the
Love
fire
it.
Going with my whole entire family it, right on the water. Got to see where the ducks were landing, so I got to go out there and shoot them the next morning, but you know.
Well, that's fantastic. I have
it was
a feeling
nice.
Raised in Wisco is probably going to expand past Michigan and Minnesota into Illinois at some point. So if you want to talk about. If you want to talk smack about Illinois, now's the
do
time
it now.
To do it.
You know, Jacobs.
You Illinois. Can hear us in Illinois.
You can hear us in Illinois.
You can hear us all the way down to
well,
Chicago if you get the radio station right.
That's right, because we are.
Jacob shaking his head.
Jacob, no offense. We love you, man. We have adopted you as a Wisconsinite, Jacob. You
yeah,
know that,
you're
don't
a Wisconsinite.
You? You're a Wisconsinite.
I'm very happy to be a Wisconsinite because I'm raised here in Wisco with you guys, and it's fun, and you make fun of my ducks and my state and my Cubs, and that's fine.
What?
We're all buddies, I understand.
Mostly we make fun of your football team, but that's okay too, Jacob. Chef Lawton, what do you got?
I had a wonderful solo evening in the woods turkey hunting and was blessed with harvesting a nice big tom.
Nice.
So that's my exciting weekly Wisco.
Yeah, well, that is very exciting. And oddly enough, my weekly Wisco is an extremely exciting event, too, I won't say it wasn't solo. I had State Senator Rob Stafschult and his daughter with me, and I harvested a Miriam turkey.
So cool.
In Wyoming. And wait for it.
Holding,
drum roll, please.
Holding.
I... That's all completed I did. My turkey grand slam.
Did you? Yeah.
That's awesome.
And for those of you listening who do not know what a turkey grand slam is, there are four main turkeys species in the United States. They are Eastern, Osceola, Miriam, and Rio. And this was the last one that I haven't gotten. And so I was able to get out there in Wyoming and harvest a beautiful Miriam turkey. And I'm going to save my next weekly Wisco for the next show we do. But Kenya Link, I'm going to expand the weekly Wisco into several weeks because this is a perfect way to introduce the exciting thing that happened to you. So why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, I am happy to. So it technically was within the week because I just got back to Wisconsin last Wednesday. So technically it's within the week still.
Well, that counts.
Nice. Even better.
But yeah, so I was out in Idaho along the Snake River, bighorn sheep hunting. And I got a great big bighorn sheep in the depths of Hell's Canyon. One of the
how you did that there. The depths of Hell's Canyon.
That does not sound terrifying at all.
Yeah, I mean, it really, really, truly kind of was. It's some steep country out there, but I had such a blast. I mean, physically, mentally, it was a tough hunt, but I pursued and I didn't give up and I got it done in the end. So awesome. I was happy to bring back a bunch of bighorn sheep meat with me and we cooked it up over the weekend and celebrated and it was delicious. Aww. So,
oh my gosh.
That's so exciting.
It's wonderful.
I have so many questions. I cannot wait to talk about that. We're going to talk about where you went in, where you were dropped off, how much you did on foot, what firearm you were using, what the terrain was like, what the weather was like. I want to know what you did with the meat. I want to know everything about it because
I want to know the recipe for the meat. Yeah, that's, so get that ready.
Wow, Chef Lawton wants to know the recipe. There's a surprise. I can't wait to continue talking to you about that because this is in one of the categories that some people consider themselves extremely serious hunters going after, you know, the sheep and the sheep's lambs. And a bighorn sheep is absolutely crazy difficult to get. So I'm really excited about that. So why don't you start, give us a little quip as to when you went out there and how the very first day of the hunt started.
Yeah, so I'll start off by saying I drew a really rare tag. It's the Unit 11 Idaho sheep, Idaho bighorn sheep tag that there's only one out of state tag given. It's a lottery ticket.
Wow.
Holy cow.
It's a really, really rare tag to draw. I was absolutely so excited when I heard the news that I drew this tag. I put in a total of 7 days hunting for this sheep. Day one was definitely the hottest. It was about 100.
Well, I can't wait to hear about that. We got to go to break. Hang on to your hats, everybody. It's so exciting. This is Raised in Wisco with an expert panel and Kenya Link. One-stop shop for everything in the great outdoors of the great state of Wisconsin. My name is Joel Clayfish. I have the honor and privilege and pleasure of hosting Raised in Wisco alongside co-host Danielle Fairman and award-winning chef, the culinarian, the chefferie of Raised in Wisco, Ellie Lawton, who shares with us how to take what you field and forage to the table in a simple, easy way. And tonight, we've got Megan the Salad Bar Salazar, our sommelier, along with us today. Danielle, I love that you laugh every time I
every
say that.
Every time. I'm just picturing it as a name tag.
Our number one fan, Gary Fluitt's in the studio with us. But we have been hearing the very beginning of the exciting, unbelievable, death-defying hunt of Kenya Link. And if you follow
in
Kenya.
In Hell's Canyon.
In Hell's Kitchen.
Sounds
kitchen.
Fun.
Canyon? Hell's Kitchen Canyon. Or Canyon?
Canyon.
Is it Hell's Kitchen Hell's or Canyon?
Hole.
Danielle, you're on the radio.
Kenya Link, you do quite a bit in the outdoors.
I can Google it now.
You went on a bighorn sheep hunt, and you drew really the tag of 1,000 lifetimes, if we're going to be honest. They give one out-of-state bighorn sheep tag, and unbelievably, you drew it. First day of your hunt, super hot out, and you're facing, you know,
wait, can we go altitude. Back to the whole getting the tag? Like, that has to be so exciting. I feel like we need to talk about that one. Like, how many times did you put in for this? Like, how did you...
How many people go in for it?
I have all the questions about this part.
Yeah, I
I'm
do
still
too, Danielle.
Up here.
And I want to know how many resident tags they pull, too, if anyone knows that.
Do you know this, Kenya?
Kenya,
yeah,
tell us.
So, a lot of people apply for it every year. I mean, it brings in a lot of money for conservation. As far as other tags in that area, there's one resident tag, and then there's one governor's tag that can technically hunt that unit. So... Realistically speaking, there's only three people who can hunt that unit.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
If the governor's tag decides to shoot one there, or if they decide to go somewhere else. So the competition's really low, which helps, because as I said earlier before the break, the terrain is tough. It's it was 105 degrees the first day I hunted, and I was climbing up the steep Hell's Canyon Mountains. So
Hell's Canyon. I was right.
Yeah, Hell's Canyon and Hell's Kitchen that day too.
That's unbelievable. Now, when you say climbing up, is it more alpine style climbing, or are you doing rock climbing, or is it kind of a combination of both? And what's the altitude like?
Yeah, it's rock. It's really rocky. Once in a while, you'll be lucky enough to hit a grassy patch, but it's rocky and it's slippery. I mean, I had two walking sticks, and most people use one or two walking sticks too, because it's steep. I mean, you're climbing. So, and yeah, altitude, I honestly, we weren't really that high up. It doesn't, when you hear the number, it doesn't seem like you're that high up. It's like between almost 4,000 feet.
Okay.
Like 380. Yeah.
It's nothing to laugh at. You're still going to have to take deeper breaths at 4,000 or 5,000 feet.
Oh, gosh.
Seems like a lot
when you're constantly
of work.
Climbing.
Now, are you belayed while you're doing this, or are you free climbing?
You're totally free climbing. Yeah. All you've got is your walking sticks, and a big backpack on your back to weigh
to
you
pull
down.
You backwards.
And oh, I'm man. Sure I'm just going to tell you, today's school kids in grade school, they train for this because their backpacks are bigger than
not anymore.
I have to. So you're climbing up this mountain, and it's 105 degrees. The air is slightly thinner than it is down here. And what are you think? Are you thinking to yourself at some point, what the ever-loving hell have I gotten myself into?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you're at a spot where you can't really find a good spot to stick your foot. You're kind of talking yourself out of a panic attack once in a while, but
because are places where you slip the wrong way, you fall off the mountain, correct?
Oh yeah. Certain.
Oh yeah, certain. Yeah. No biggie. Okay. Oh yeah. I cannot imagine.
All the time.
And when you actually harvest an animal and you have to track this whole entire thing back, how in the world are you going to do that?
Is
like that,
all seem, going
that just
your mind?
Seems mind blowing to me.
Yeah, so it is mind blowing, truthfully. And so I went with guides. I had a great team of guides, Sheep Meadow Outfitters. You can find them online under Sheep Mountain Outfitters.
Sheep Meadow Outfitters. Not get it?
Sheep Meadow.
Sheep Meadow.
Yeah. Meadow.
Oh, Sheep Clever. Meadow.
Yeah. Oh, Sheep. Oh, Meadow. Sheep Meadow. I'm sorry, Joel. I was on the same page.
I was thinking Sheep Meadow. I don't know.
Clever.
Wow, unbelievable. So you're wondering to yourself, what the hell did I get myself into? I'm halfway up a mountain. And you haven't seen a sheep at this point, or you have?
Well, so the first day we had, we were we were glassing them from across the way. We were on the other side of the river, glassing along the Snake River, looking at the mountain, and we could see them in a spot. So we made our way to that spot, and we tried to get a shot the first day. Didn't work out. So we ended up climbing down the mountain. They ran off. We didn't get a good shot, and all that climbing just for the heck of it, pretty much is what happened the first day. And then, it was a 7-full day hunt. So
wow.
Holy.
Ooh, after that
cow.
First day, I
How
probably would have turned in my boots.
Sleeping right now.
Yeah, I can't. And when you come down, I can't imagine the exasperation after the first day, the wonder of if I did the right thing here, if I'm going to continue. Well, Kenya Link, our guest tonight, did continue, and you're not going to believe how the hunt developed, and I'm really excited about this. This is Raised in Wisco. In Wisco, I'm your host Joel Clayfish, sitting alongside co-host Danielle Fairman, chefery of the show Ellie Lawton, fan favorite of the show Gary Fluitt, and of course contributor Megan the Salad Bar Salazar. But today we have one heck of an exciting guest, Kenya Link, who just got back from a bighorn sheep hunt. She pulled a tag, one given out to a non-resident. And she had a hunt in Hell's Canyon, Idaho. Yes, Idaho, Kenya. And I want to know, when you're up there and you had just talked about day one, going up, not getting a shot, putting in probably the hardest physical day of your life, or at least toward the top of that, right? And you get to the bottom and... let's do it again tomorrow. Is that what happened?
Same place, same.
And then again and again
and again and again. I mean, take me through the mental stratosphere you're going through at that point.
Yeah, it's an emotional roller coaster. I mean, day one to the last day, you're hitting a lot of highs and lows, literally and figuratively. I mean, it's a lot. It's a mental challenge. Let alone the physical challenge.
So take me to which day you actually saw the sheep that you got a shot at, and what that day was like, and what was going through your mind, and what you had to physically and mentally do on that day.
Yeah. So day six, the night of day six, one of my guys, so we had hunted a few different sheep. So this was really the third ram we were after. And the first time anybody had seen this ram within our group was day six that night. I didn't get eyes on him until day seven. But day six that night, one of my guides basically put him to bed. We knew where he was. And we made a game plan for the next day. Friday morning, we got up way, way early so we could get up to the top of the mountain before daylight via truck, and then work our way in to where he was. And this was, like I said, the first time anybody in our group had seen the sheep, and he was the biggest sheep that they had seen all season. So
all season.
Wow. Yeah. He's a monster.
Yes.
I saw a picture. It's fantastic. So,
monster.
Yeah. So the wait of the 7 days ended up paying off, because this was the big one. So
take me through that seventh day as you're climbing the mountain again. What emotions are you going through before you see him, as you see him, as you get ready to take that shot?
Yeah, so I knew we had a long hike ahead of us that day. We had to go in just 8 miles from where we parked the truck down.
Oh, you hiked like 8 miles
in.
Okay,
uphill both ways.
Okay,
on day six after you've been doing that
day seven.
You've already been doing this for 6 days.
Oh,
just a casual 16-mile hike on day seven.
Wow. Yeah, it was a lot. We literally 8 miles in, and then he ended up not being at that spot where
no.
they had gone to bed. So we had to go up and down and up and down.
Like, oh no!
I think from there it was close to five or six more miles.
Oh gosh! Roll out the stretcher for me.
I mean, have you seen the sheep? It's a good sheep.
It's absolutely
amazing. Worth it.
I'm not sure if you had all the sheep that Jesus had in one spot. If I could hike in 8 miles. And then start
plus
going
some.
Up and down.
And then just
mountains.
Five or six more,
then
up
just
and down.
Five or six
no biggie.
So
your calves would be huge.
At this point, is your guide like looking at you thinking, I don't know.
This is one tough chick.
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
Up.
I have no idea. I'm going to fall asleep right here. Send in a helicopter. I mean, what are you thinking at that point?
The good news is the guides, I mean, they're equipped for that. They do this all the time. But even at the end, they said to me, they're like, that's probably the hardest hike I've ever had to do for a big
one. Oh, my gosh.
That's
oh
what several
goodness.
Of them said to me at the end. And I didn't doubt it for a minute. But, I mean, they were really proud of me. They probably knew I had it in me. Otherwise, I don't think they would have put me in that situation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Were
so,
you sure?
Good for you. I'm very proud of you.
Were you,
you
sure you had
Thank
it
you.
In you at that point? I mean, honestly.
Honestly.
I can't
honestly,
imagine
yeah,
the mental
like,
turmoil.
So this was my second, like, major sheep hunt. I'm halfway to my Grand Slam for sheep, actually. I went doll sheep hunting in Alaska when I was, I think I was 17 at the time. And that was a really, really long hike too. So I knew I had it in me. I didn't know that I had it in me for the hotter climate because it's
yeah,
not
that
like that in Alaska.
Big difference.
Oh
yeah,
it does. You
so
need
take me
to
through.
Pack in a lot of water.
Oh yeah.
I want to know what, take us through when you see this sheep and the scenario, paint the picture for me as to what's going
yeah.
through your mind as you're thoroughly exasperated and exhausted and you finally see this monster on the side of the mountain.
Yeah, and exhausted is a good way to put it because my guide told me we had to go quickly up this 80-ish yard, really steep slope. And once we got up there, it was go time to shoot. So I basically jogged up there as quickly as I could without hurting myself. And I got to the top and I had to collect my breath. I mean, it was probably 70 degrees only that day, which is still pretty hot when you're hiking.
Ooh, very
like that.
Hot.
But,
yeah, very hot.
But it was still, you know, it was still hot for me. And I was collecting my breath. My guide's like, okay, it's, you know, just breathe in and out. You need to shoot. And I'm like, okay, I can do this.
Chop, chop, girl, let's go.
It's time. So,
how far
I mean,
was
at that
sheep?
Point, it's so from there, he was about 330 yards away. It was 327 exactly from where I shot.
Wow.
So, yeah. And basically, once I collected my breath, I belly crawled up to the edge of this little slope. Got the gun ready, put the tripod out for the gun, got comfortable. He was on the move. He was running up the hill with three other sheep, two smaller ones, and then one other really nice ram too. But I tell you what, when I looked in my scope, I knew which one he was. He stood out like a sore thumb.
I bet, but that's no short shot either. And they're
yeah.
telling you, you better shoot quick.
Yep. Yep. Well, they, you know, they're low pressure. They're like, you know, take your time, you know, take a deep breath, get comfortable. But I wasn't messing around. I had the opportunity. I looked to my guide, I said, he's the one in the back, right? You know, you got to confirm because you don't want to make the wrong shot, of course. And so he said, yep, that's the one. And I said, all right, I'm taking the safety off. Took the safety off. And right when I got a clean shot of him broadside with the other rams out of the way, made a perfect shot, dropped him right in his tracks.
Yay!
Wonderful. Yeah. 330 yards. That is a long shot.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
And then did you just jump for joy?
I mean, what went through your mind the second he dropped?
The second he dropped, I reloaded and I put those crosshairs right back on. I'm ready to shoot again just in case. Yes. I wasn't taking any chances. So I didn't get excited yet. I just kind of got prepared for the next step and prepared for the worst. And I had him in my scope and my guide said, yep, he's down. You're good to go. Put it on safety. And then I started to celebrate.
Yay!
I can't imagine.
Oh, congratulations. That's so exciting. So then do they go over there and pack like chop it up and bag it for you? Or do you get to go over there and do that?
Oh yeah, we all climbed way over there, which it wasn't an easy climb over there either. Because like I said, we were top, kind of on a top of a ridge, and he was on his way up a different ridge. So
of course,
we climbed all the way over there, and yeah, they cut him up and skinned him, and we took photos and video, and
wonderful.
It was a beautiful spot. I mean, he only fell probably about 20 yards from the shot when he collapsed. So wasn't too far of a drop, which is good and bad for the pack out. But it was an absolute adrenaline rush, especially from where I shot, walking over to where he was. You know, I'm just so excited. I wish I could have just ran over there, but you know, one step at a time in those mountains.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. That's just an unbelievable success story after putting in so much work. And I don't think people think about, I know I as a hunter often don't think about, once that animal is down and you want to preserve that meat and that hide, that's when the actual work begins.
Yeah,
that's when it gets crazy hard. And so now you're with this beautiful animal, you're going to take your photographs, now you're going to pack it out, that and you're what, 10-15 miles into a mountain. I mean, what is going through your mind at that point to realize now we're going to pack this thing out, and you have just used every last scintilla of energy?
Yeah, so I mean, it's time to fuel up, have a couple snacks, have some water, and get your mind in the zone to work your way off the mountain, especially so you can do it on time before it gets dark. Yeah. It's all one way in, one way out is kind of how I was thinking. And basically the pack out wasn't so bad. It was close to an hour and 45 minutes out. The distance,
how many miles?
I'm not sure, honestly, probably close to 3, I think, according to my Garmin watch.
Okay. And we're all going, 3 miles, that's easy. 3 miles!
After
three
all of that.
3 miles through the mountains.
After 14, 15 miles earlier.
Oh, my gosh. So, in essence, you ran a marathon. Oh, not even joking.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Multiple marathons that week.
Up and down a mountain. Marathon after marathon after marathon. I mean, that is some serious Ironman stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And real quickly, I want to know, what was the first food item, the culinary thing you did with the sheep?
That's exactly
when
what
you
I was
got back.
Ask.
Mm-hmm. I thought we were going to do that in the next segment.
Well, we got, lots of cooking to talk about.
Yeah,
today.
We do.
The first item I had when I got off the mountain was an ice cold Coors Light. I can tell you that.
You earned that.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. It was hard earned, but yeah, that pack out was wild. When I got home to Wisconsin, we seasoned up the back straps into little just bite-sized steak bites and seasoned them up just kind of how we season up venison at home. And then soaked them in butter on the frying pan and ate them like
that. Ooh.
Beautiful.
Congratulations.
I would have got off that mountain and I would have eaten a chunk of that ram sushi grade. Yeah.
I would have eaten the heart so on the side of the mountain.
And we just ate the most amazing meal before the show tonight. Yes. We're going to tell you about that with Chef Lawton. Raised in Wisco is, after all, a cooking show. Wisco is nothing if not exciting, and exploring the state of Wisconsin, what it has to offer, what you can harvest, what you can forage, what you can fish, and how to put it on the table. And we have a special treat for you tonight, as we always do. Chef Ellie Lawton, the award-winning culinarian, is joining us, and we do a cooking segment every show. If you're new to the show, welcome. Get out those pots and pans and utensils, because we're going to show you how to take what you get in the field and bring it to the table. What an amazing story by Kenya Link. A fantastic hunt. And we got to hear about her seasoning up those back straps of that once in 10 lifetimes bighorn sheep she got. And I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest things about Raised in Wisco, and we have our number one fan, Gary Fluitt, along, and of course, Danielle Megan. Fairman, co-host of the show, Ellie Lawton, our chef, and contributor, Megan Salazar. But one of the things that I just love, the camaraderie of the show and getting together. We get together and break bread before the show. And tonight, we had an unbelievable feast, I would call it.
So good.
It was so good, and I'm hoping that's the recipe of the week, Chef Lawton.
It was not. Look at her face.
Sorry to break your heart, Joel.
Well, you're going to have to listen to a future show, because on a future show, we're going to go through the recipe of what we ate today, but it was pretty fantastic, and it had the
All right, Joel, we can talk about it
if you want. It's okay. No, I
don't
want to
derail you.
You can't. Not possible when it comes to food. But Chef Lawton, what have you in store for us this week?
So, I did a play on chicken and waffles, but I used my wild turkey breasts that I just harvested, and I made a cornbread waffle with charred corn and scallions, and then a maple butter.
Did you forget to invite us?
Yeah. I want to know. Megan just said.
I thought we were friends.
Megan, I do already have pictures of it for you as well.
Okay, that makes it worse.
Okay,
you do know
but
that,
I didn't
right?
eat it.
Sorry, I'm blowing up. Sorry, you're blowing up. Sorry, everybody's blowing up right now.
I haven't said a word.
Danielle, thank you. That's because you want the recipe. I can tell.
I'm waiting.
Okay, so I went out, had a beautiful turkey hunt. Breasted my turkey. Megan, I'm making turkey tail next with my turkey tail.
Fantastic.
Yes. So marinated that turkey breast overnight in the refrigerator with some hot sauce and some buttermilk. Super easy. The next day.
Yeah.
Oh, Danielle. Are you doing okay?
Danielle, we're at the beginning of the recipe, Danielle. Hang on. Hang on. The best is yet to come.
Super easy prep for this meat. Took it out of the marinade. I let the buttermilk sit on it. I did not rinse it off. I put it in a seasoned flour of cayenne, cornmeal, flour, a little salt, a little pepper. Ooh. I pan fried it in the cast iron skillet. That was my turkey. It was wonderful, beautiful. I loved it. And then for the cornbread waffle, you can use a cornbread mix, or you can make your own. A little baking powder, eggs, milk, butter. And then I charred some sweet corn kernels and green onions in a cast iron pan. Mm-hmm. So just until they got a little dark on the outside. Threw that in the batter. Put that in the waffle iron. Danielle, are you still doing okay over there?
I need a bit.
Danielle, how are you hungry
right
now?
I love hot. If it's spicy,
are you hungry?
I'm in.
So always. Danielle, first spice factor.
Putting on my winter weight.
First spice factor on the turkey. I did drizzle some hot honey over it once I put
Mike's
it
Mike's hot honey?
Yes. Yes.
You could add jalapenos to your cornbread too.
Yeah, you certainly could. Nice. Yeah. You can put any sort of char, whatever veggie, and put it in the cornbread waffle. It was fantastic. So then, made that cornbread waffle, put the turkey over it, and then topped it with pickled red onion and pickled carrot with the hot honey. And then, Danielle?
Wait, why are we putting carrots in this thing?
Whoa, relax. They're pickled.
They're
it's
on
amazing.
The side, maybe. I don't know.
No, I pile okay. them up on top.
Holy
we're
cow,
gonna,
that
we're gonna
went
do
south
a side
in
dish.
A hurry.
Hey,
that
Danielle,
went south in a hurry when we
obviously you're
carrots.
Stuck at the culinary carrot corner, and we're going to change that, okay? And then, Danielle, I made this for you. I made maple butter. So I took butter and an delicious. Immersion blender and put in some Wisconsin maple syrup until I made a really nice, thick.
Jarunis.
Oh, goodness. made a nice, thick maple butter and drizzled that over the top. Oh. That's what
it sounds
what I
so
had.
Harvesty,
sorry.
Right?
Sorry, y'all weren't wow. invited.
I
next
feel like
time,
that would be good with sheep.
Next time, though, I'm going to top it
you
with some
that,
cranberry
Kenya.
Chutneys.
Oh, that sounds absolutely fantastic. I think
chutneys?
Some chutney. Oh, cranberry chutney.
I think cornmeal is an underrated,
cornmeal's fantastic.
Underused substance.
I
cornmeal
have
on
never
the bottom
used
of
it.
A pizza crust.
Oh, pizza. Yes.
You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't even
oh,
know
yeah,
if
you
I
know?
Would call it. Kenya, Kenya
yeah,
what do you think?
Kenya.
Kenya, what do you think about that recipe?
I like the cornmeal on the bottom of pizza crust. That's so yeah. good.
Well, never Kenya, that I wasn't ever. Part of the recipe.
I'm going to tell you, I like that you took a classic chicken and waffles, made it with wild game.
Yeah.
And the beauty of doing that is that you could really use almost any protein.
Yeah, I wanted to say you
like
could
that.
Do duck breast. Megan, you could do pheasant, chucker, anything.
It
That'd
sounds
be
like
fantastic.
A wonderful fall recipe.
Or if you don't have any wild game, run to the grocery store. Start with some chicken leg quarters and use that.
That's
fantastic.
And I'm going to say, I don't know because I haven't yet had the pleasure to try it, but it almost sounds like when you're adding the scallion to the waffle, it gives it kind of almost a potato pancakey thing.
Yeah.
It hits with
yeah,
the maple
that's fair
syrup
to say.
Butter.
It's like cornbread, potato pancake, almost has like a Asian flavor profile to it, actually. Once you char the corn and the onion and put it in the
I do not have
milk.
Your brain.
That sounds amazing.
Okay, Danielle, I don't have yours.
That's why we have her on the show, just to
yep.
grab
like,
all
where
the
is
information.
This Asian
next week, you're
going to
have
to steal it and steal it. Folks, when you listen to Raised in Wisco, we appreciate it. Try the recipes. Go to Facebook and join our following on Facebook because you'll see these recipes, you'll learn how to make them, and you can connect with us. If you have questions about the show or you want to learn more about Raised in Wisco, reach out on our Facebook page. We have a blast. Thanks to Kenya Lane.
Thank you, Kenya.
Thanks, Kenya. Congratulations.
Gary Fluitt. Thanks to contributor Megan Salazar. And Ellie Lawton, our chefery, for co-host Danielle Fairman. My name's Joel Clayfish. We'll see you next week on Raised in Wisco.
Breathe. Take a breath.